Tonight we're going to hear from a man who loves his family. A man who gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning so that he can make his 6 o'clock in the morning meetings. And according to his wife, he does so cheerfully. A man who willingly spends 3 hours or more after he gets off a day's work to be with those who need his help and his expertise. A man who loves the Lord enough that he would quit his position as mayor of a large California city, Palo Alto, so that he could go on a mission for the church. A man who is a special witness of Christ, but most importantly, one of those who have been called and now who is one of the Lord's chosen, Elder David B. Haight.
I wonder if this rostrum could come up a little. Thank you. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I want all of you to know that this is a great honor and privilege for me to be here tonight. And I want to particularly welcome President Oaks, and who is a regional representative of the 12, and other regional representatives who are here, and other key school and church officials. We are all proud of the achievements and goals of this university. For the devotion of the leaders of these 14 stakes and 137 wards, and we acknowledge that this assembly tonight is unique, and in this academic world, certainly to say that it is unique is a major understatement. And I pray that tonight that I might have the Spirit of the Lord to be with me so that I might say things that would be appropriate for you to hear. But I pray that you may be able to hear and witness and understand the things that I think might be appropriate for you to hear this night. The choir sang, O Divine Redeemer. You may not have listened carefully to the words. Let me repeat a few. O Divine Redeemer, turn me not away. Receive me, though unworthy. Hear my cry, behold my distress. Have mercy, Lord, on thy servant. Hear me crying out for mercy. Please, Lord, protect my soul. Is this, I would say to you, and not pleading to the Lord to overlook some failures, perhaps, or statements such as, I didn't quite understand, I'll do better if I have another chance, my heart wanted to follow you, so please give me another chance, or perhaps saying, now I understand, O Lord, hear my cries. I don't know the author, but he gives us a rather dramatic view of an encounter we must all face, to be judged and to be assigned to our appropriate earned kingdom. We learn from divine statements and truths contained in the scriptures of the two great missions the Master had, to atone and ransom mankind from the effects of the fall of Adam, as part of the plan accepted in the grand council in heaven. He is our Redeemer, and also as our Savior. Now the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, to bring salvation to all who believe in His name, to save that which was lost, to save people from their sins. The Savior taught mankind how to live, how to serve, how to worship, and taught the principles of the gospel, this gospel which would bring men back into the presence of our Heavenly Father. A few weeks ago, President Kimball spoke to our regional representatives who had assembled from all parts of the world. All of the general authorities were also in attendance. This was a very solemn but historic assembly to receive instructions, counsel, and to be built up in faith and testimony, and to reaffirm to these church leaders our mission to assist in saving the souls of mankind and to focus on the things that matter most. In this comprehensive review of the church's progress, we could sense again his, that is, the president's anxiety and concern for this work. We who are near our prophet sense a restlessness because time is moving swiftly. The world population is growing. The keys of the kingdom and salvation are here and available to all. We, all of us here tonight, are his disciples. To the regional representatives, President Kimball asked, "What did the Lord mean when he stood atop the Mount of Olives and said to the 12, 'And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.'" The uttermost parts of the earth. Everywhere. Then our prophet remarked, "We have hardly scratched the surface." It was the Lord himself who directed that the gospel must be preached unto every creature. It was President Kimball, our living prophet, saying to you and to me that we must find the way to proclaim the gospel and declare its restoration to all mankind. Does President Kimball mean you are involved? Of course. Why me, you might say? Others can do it. I'm so busy. May I remind you that when you accepted baptism, you made a covenant to come into the fold of God, to take upon you the name of Christ, to bear one another's burdens, to stand as a witness of God at all times, in all places, and in all things, and agreed to serve God and keep his commandments. And if you do these things, the Lord has promised he will pour out his Spirit upon you, and you will be redeemed of God and have eternal life. Need I ask, after being reminded of your baptismal covenant, are you part of this heavenly inspired and directed obligation to teach all mankind? Does the Lord or his prophets force you to do his will? Of course not. But the promised rewards are almost beyond our conception. Listen carefully to his promise. All thrones and dominions, principalities and power shall be revealed and set forth upon all who have endured valiantly for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter, the senior apostle and head of the church after the Savior had left them, in a teaching opportunity said, "What manner of persons ought ye to be?" Peter counseled, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then Peter continuing said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," that is, the elements and materials rearranged or reorganized, "seeing that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be?" And then he said, "Be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." And then he said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter encouraged and strengthened the saints anciently so they could spread the gospel and save the souls of mankind. Now, in a similar manner, President Kimball, the Lord's prophet, is sounding the trumpet for us today to what? To live lives of perfection, to acquire all the knowledge possible, communication skills, and language ability, so that we can move with more speed in reaching the millions of people. Millions of people in strange-sounding places with strange-sounding names who have been prepared and will receive the gospel. What does the Lord expect of you? What is your role in this divine drama? Hasn't the Lord brought the church out of obscurity? Are not the temples dotting the landscape? Are not the satellites stationed in the heavens ready to beam the message? Are not needed facilities and technical skills available? New developments in radio and television communications being unfolded? We have nearly, I guess, 20,000 people in this audience tonight. Would 10 people on that front row right over there please stand up? Just 10 of you. Well, we've got more than we need. We just want 10. Let's go through it again. Let's have 10 stand up. Somebody thinks we can't count. All right, let's take one more. Thank you. Now, this is about the proportion of Mormons in the world in relation to the total world population if we had 20,000 people here tonight. Now, would five of you please sit down? Now, may I remind all of you that the five standing represent the active, participating members of the church. You five must convert the other 19,990 in this building tonight. But I would say to you, you must hurry. In a few years, fewer than 20, the world population will double to 8 billion. You may sit down. Thank you. Our prophet reminds us the uttermost parts of the earth not only means the millions in America, but all of Central and South America, all of the Far East, all of Europe, all of Africa. More than one-tenth of the world's 4 billion souls live on the African continent. China, the third largest country, has nearly 1 billion people. Over half speak Mandarin. Will you be prepared to teach them? The prophet asks, will you be prepared to take the gospel to India's 3/4 billion, to Burma, to Saudi Arabia, or the 41 million Muslims in Turkey? We are promised that when we are ready, properly prepared as a people, barriers will gradually be penetrated, political hard lines will soften. Today, Poland is an example of what will take place. We understand many people now are going to church in Russia. Will we in a few years not be as comfortable and familiar speaking of cities in Bangladesh, Iraq, Malaysia, Yugoslavia, and the Ukraine as we now are of Sydney, Tokyo, Geneva, Walla Walla, and Mexico City. President Kimball reminds us, there is no reason why the Lord would open doors or break down iron or bamboo curtains if we are unprepared to enter. How can we, he says, be satisfied with 200,000 converts a year out of a world of 4 billion who need the gospel? We are often reminded of Sarah, the wife of Abraham, laughing when told that she would have a son at her age of 90 years. How could she bear children? She did have a son, as promised by the Lord. Abraham was to become the father of nations. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything impossible to him? If he commands his gospel to be taken to the uttermost parts of the earth, won't he open the way? If the carriers of the message are ready and prepared? If each of you were asked to outline what qualities messengers authorized to carry Christ's gospel of salvation unto the expanding proselyting world must have, if they were to succeed, your outline would probably include a personal growing faith and knowledge of God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, a knowledge that would be sufficient for one's salvation, that his saving principles would have become part of one's life. Probably this outline would include good works and a desire to serve mankind as evidenced by positive actions. Did not the Lord teach as fundamental, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them? Wouldn't your outline also include the love of people, but with the measuring rod he built in, to love people with the same degree you love yourself, or it really doesn't matter. To be considerate of others, and in addition, you don't steal, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't bear false witness, or plan to take another's life. And then you would include the keeping of God's commandments, all of them. You can't just pick and choose. If ye love me, keep my commandments. When President Kimball indicates an uneasiness about our present pace in converting the world, his concern is not limited to missionaries and baptisms, as important as they are, but also in developing our teaching and training skills to strengthen and build up the millions of people who will eventually come unto Christ. Many of you have been on a mission, you say, serve my 2 years. Didn't President Kimball explain a few months ago on this campus that your mission has no time limit? 100 years, 200 years, 2,000 years, or whatever might be needed? If you see your role clearly, your two-year mission was a prep school, preparing you for further involvement somewhere in the world to assist new members to understand and live the Savior's teachings. You may serve a number of calls as you respond to the needs of an expanding church reaching out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Plan your professional and family goals so that you will have had a part in this vision of our prophet to prepare to reach out, to bless more people. Keep your life in harmony. What a blessing to have a living prophet in our midst. One you can see, you can hear, you can hear his voice, you can read his messages to the world, you can shake his hand, look into his piercing eyes. We sing, come listen to a prophet's voice and hear the words of God. Do you get that feeling when you hear that song or when you talk about him? To us, he is so human and gentle and spiritual and yet so forceful. We understand what he means. Our civilization is entering into troubling times. We're in them. times that are fed and nourished by people who scoff at divine truths, who scoff at Bible references or at such terms as under God or in God we trust, or references made to the framers of the Constitution being wise men raised up for that very purpose. People who scoff at some such ideas. The part you will play in the coming years is critical. It is meant that all of you be strong, not weaklings tossed to and fro, but that you be valiant, a leader, one who enters the fray, a defender of truth and right. Troubled times require valiant men and women like you, products of this great university and of these student stakes, who in the spirit of love and hope will teach the world correct moral principles and high ethical standards. Who else will if you don't? Some polls indicate a congressman from New York State and an admitted contributor to the delinquency of a 16-year-old boy will likely be reelected to Congress. Moral standards? Who cares, I guess some might say. A congressman from Michigan convicted a few days ago of 29 counts of mail fraud and embezzling money will likely be reelected. Perhaps many others will be elected on this coming Thursday who have demonstrated dishonesty or immorality and disregard for traditional moral standards. And I don't mean lots of them, but perhaps some. I was interested in some comments from a highly respected political writer who wrote, "The critical weakness of our society is that our people do not have great purpose, which they are united in wanting to achieve. The public mood of the country is defensive, to hold on and to conserve, not to push forward and create. We talk about ourselves these days as if we were a completed society, one which has achieved its purpose and has no further great business to transact." Sometimes we hear people say the world has changed. The church is out of step with modern times. The old religious laws don't apply anymore. Similar voices were heard by the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "In the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, without natural affection, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Who will be the strong, powerful voice and influence to stem such a tide? It must be you. You are in training, but you must believe and live Christ's teachings if you are to fill your hoped-for destiny in this world. Your outline of qualifications to become one of the messengers for the Savior would include that we must be morally and sexually pure. I recall the testimony of a young lady at a state conference telling of her dating years. Her mother helped her to understand the pitfalls. Now a young wife living in an army base, she could look at her husband sitting on the stand, a member of the Sunday school presidency. She was proud of him, remembering their wonderful courtship and relationship. Married in the temple, nothing to hide, no regrets. She told how they were tempted. But their goal was the temple. They knew the difference between a pure kiss and necking. They knew that virtue is lost by degrees. Their plans were carefully thought out. Avoiding the parked car on a lonely road in the late hours alone and the steady datings. She wore a single pearl necklace throughout her courtship as a reminder to keep virtuous. You can avoid the tragedy, the heartbreak, the suffering of sexual impropriety. You control your circumstances. You know the pitfalls. Why not use time together constructively in wholesome activity? uplifting discussions, study together. Do you really know each other? Do you really? Take time to expand your mind. Have gospel discussions. Can you read or speak Russian? Mandarin Chinese? Why not try it? Why not go to work? My wife is taking Spanish 101 at the University of Utah now. There is so much to learn. Can you imagine a greater waste of your parents' money, save for your education, than going to filthy movies, buying porno-type magazines? Man's reproductive ability was divinely created for family development, but today cheapened and degraded to some animal behavior. Never, never permit yourself to compromise God's instructions. Thou shalt not, he said. Whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, he has recorded. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? And who shall stand in holy places? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Have pride in your personal being, in your appearance, your clothes, your manners. Learn to say thank you. Learn to speak well. Pronounce correctly and clearly. You need not look like some television character. I hope you won't. Because you are different. You have a divine obligation. I hope that your personal outline for people who will be the messengers that we're talking about here tonight will include that the Savior's disciples will be family-oriented. Men and women marry. They marry forever. Not as an experiment or a trial, but they love each other and none other forever. They will raise an eternal family and will fulfill God's law to multiply and replenish the earth. Dr. Elliot Landau wrote recently of a survey taken over 50 years ago of some 1,500 children in public schools in California with IQs well over 135, all of a genius character. This was 50 years ago. They have now been located and interviewed. And now 50 years has gone by, and they were asked what had given them the most satisfaction in life. And these individuals, now in their 60s and late 60s, the majority said that their family had given them the most satisfaction and came first, came before their profession or friends or the making of money, their families. Isn't it interesting how the century-old basics of true happiness, for true happiness and fulfillment, keep returning because they are true, solid, never changing? Will Durant, now 92, after a lifetime of study, writing as a world-famous historian and philosopher, but one who had never been considered to be a religious man, recently wrote, "My final lesson of history after all my study is the same as that of Jesus. Love one another." The Savior time and time again has stressed love one another. It is the golden thread woven into his gospel. As a result of a recent revelation to our prophet, all the people of the world must hear Christ's teachings. All the people of the world. In this brief period we have been together, hopefully your vision has been broadened as you reflect on your personal obligation. This university advertises, "The world is our campus." May I also add, the world is also yours to convert. Many of the needed new techniques and communications approaches will develop on this campus, but most important will be your heart and your desire. Cultivate Christ-like qualities and you will be anxiously engaged, as you have been instructed to be, in this great cause. You, my dear young friends, can and will be such an influence for good. The Lord needs your imprint on the world. Someone has written, "Nothing touches the soul but leaves its impress." And thus, little by little, we are fashioned into the image of all we have seen and heard, known and meditated. And if we learn to live with all that is fairest and purest and best, the love of it all will, in the end, become our very life. President Harold B. Lee, who loved this great university so much and all that it represents, taught us, "You cannot lift another soul until you are standing on higher ground than he is. You must be sure, if you would rescue the man, that you yourself are setting the example of what you would have him be. You cannot light a fire in another soul unless it is burning in your own." Now, as I leave you with my witness and my testimony and my blessings, I want all of you to know that I don't just hope or anticipate, but that experiences have happened in my life. And only a few weeks ago in the temple, as I bear my witness to you, that I know that God lives, that He's real, that He is our Father, that He loves us, that Jesus Christ is His Son, the only begotten of the Father in the flesh. I know this to be true. I know that President Kimball is a prophet of God. I know that the temple is the house of the Lord. I leave you my witness, my blessings, that your own vision might be broadened, that you will know that someday, somewhere, somehow, you will have a continuing desire and interest in knowing that you have a responsibility to go out with others to the uttermost parts of the earth. May you be so blessed, I pray, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.